The first reading for this, the third Sunday of Easter, comes from the Acts of the Apostles, the third chapter. While the lame man who was now healed clung to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's, astounded. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the author of life whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. And this is the word of the Lord. Christ has risen from the dead.
God the Father has crowned him with glory and honor.
He has given him dominion over the works of his hands.
He has put all things under his feet.
The epistle reading comes from the first letter of St. John, the third chapter. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. And this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel, which serves as the text for our sermon this morning, comes according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. As the disciples were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they were still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you have an open mind? Now, depending on the circumstances, that's kind of a loaded question, isn't it? If a chef comes to you with a mystery dish and asks, "Do you have an open mind?" it means you're about to be served something really nasty, but might taste okay. When your boss comes to you and says, "Do you have an open mind about your salary?" it means you're going to either be asked to take a huge pay cut and pretend it's okay, or he's asking if you don't mind being paid in some illegal fashion. When your teenager comes to you and asks, "Do you have an open mind about anything?" it means you're in big trouble. And yet, the world puts so much value on having an open mind. Or at least, it claims to. Our culture tells us over and over and over that we need to have an open mind about things, that we need to be accepting, we need to be willing to change, promising peace, harmony, continual thoughts of wonderment and fancy. The world continually tells us to have an open mind. But what does that actually mean? Well, the sinful interpretation of an open mind is an anything-goes attitude. To have an open mind in the eyes of the world is to never dare tell someone that they are doing wrong, to abandon all historic virtue and morality, and to just do whatever comes to your mind, kind of like an animal would. What do you mean that sex before marriage is a sin? You need to have an open mind about these things. How dare you say that men are men and women are women? You need to have an open mind about how the world really works, and let us tell your children all about it. What do you mean homosexuality is wrong? If you had an open mind, you'd see that it's all just fine. You honestly believe that church is still important? You should have an open mind and realize that I can believe in God however I want. You think Jesus is the only way to heaven? You need to realize that it doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you believe something. Have an open mind about faith, says the world. Sexual sin, abortion, gossip, false religions, coveting, the definition of marriage, greed, euthanasia, the dumbing down and twisting of God's word, all of these things and so much more, the world calls us to be open-minded about. Let it happen. Just go with the flow. Do whatever people want to do, because that's what it's really all about. Many people are so open-minded that their brain has completely fallen out. They don't even think. It's just, if you want it, sure, why not? It must be okay. To have the open mind of the world, you must embrace all sin. You must be willing to do anything. You must be willing to accept anything, and you must encourage anything and everything that anyone wants to do. Anything, that is, except the truth. You know, I'm always amused by the open-minded people who flat out refuse to even consider Christianity because, well, that's the way old people do it. Most open-minded people are actually very closed-minded. They're just pointed in a different direction. Be open-minded just like us. Don't be a bigot like anyone who doesn't agree with us. You see, the world's version of open-minded, it's actually very, very closed. Usually, be open-minded means that anyone with any kind of conviction at all that doesn't support whatever the most popular narrative is at the moment, they're supposed to just roll over and give up because whatever is popular is obviously true. And so not only does the world's version of open-mindedness lead to death and debauchery, the whole thing is ultimately a lie because it's not open at all. It's just wrong. But despite that, I am today asking you to be open-minded Christians. Not in the worldly, sinful way, but in the way that Jesus made his disciples open-minded. We hear from our gospel reading, "Then Jesus said to them, 'These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled.' Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, 'Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you." Jesus, God himself, gives us a truly open mind. He comes and he takes away the blinders of sin that tell us obviously Scripture doesn't mean anything. He takes away the worldly ways that blind us, and he opens our mind to see the truth of Scripture. He gives us the wisdom from above. He makes us realize that life is far more than just fulfilling our animalistic desires of the flesh. He opens our mind to be human, to be his children, to be better. With his grace, and only with his grace, we can truly understand the Scriptures. Not to reinterpret it in order to make it fit our sinful desires. We can see how it all points us to the cross and the empty tomb of Jesus Christ. All of it. We can see how it is more true even than what we assume is true in the world around us. He opens our minds to realize that our senses often fail us, that our human wisdom and understanding is grossly limited, and that his word alone gives us the answers that this world cannot. He opens our mind to see these glorious truths. With his gift of faith, we can grasp what happened on Easter. And without it, it doesn't make any sense. But Jesus died. And yet, here he is in the flesh and asking for food to eat. He is not just a spirit. He is not a mass hallucination. He is the crucified and physically resurrected Messiah in the flesh, alive and with us. With the open mind of faith that God gives us, we can cling to his promises. And we can have real hope, real healing of all of our sin. When the crowds are convicted of their wrongdoing, when Peter is preaching to them and are reading from Acts, and they ask what they should do, Peter says, "Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out." Jesus himself tells the disciples that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. Now the worldly open mind says, "Hey, stop talking about sin. Pretend there's no sin and just quit feeling guilty." But that doesn't solve anything. It makes the sin worse as it gets perpetuated from generation to generation. Sin is destructive. Sin wants to enslave you. Sin tries to convince you that it isn't real so that you're not worried about fending it off from your life. Sin wants you to love it more than you love God. And the devil will do anything to bring you over to his camp. But God opens our minds, not to comfort us with false hope, not to say, you guys have been pretty good, so go ahead and do whatever you want. He opens our minds to see that we are indeed sinners who deserve nothing but wrath and condemnation, but that in the blood of Jesus Christ, we are fully forgiven. "Beloved," says John, "we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is." You see, the worldly open mind says, "This is as good as it gets. What you can see, touch, smell, consume, that's all that there is, so make the most of it by doing whatever you want. Get all the joy and pleasure out of it that you can before it runs dry." But God opens our minds to know that there is far, far more in store for us, and that the tawdry pleasures of this world are nothing compared to his eternal paradise of heaven. And as John goes on, "Everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure." God opens our minds to see that there is a way that seems right to man, but it leads only to death. If we abide in our sin, if we let sin take over our lives, if we tell God his word really doesn't matter and we know better than he does what's good for us, well, then we have rejected his word and his grace and his love. But he comes to us by that word and opens our minds to see the path of righteousness that leads to life. He makes us want to walk that path even when the world hates us and mocks us for it, because it spares us from so much heartache and pain. Where the world's open mind leads to death and shame and pain and suffering, the open mind that Jesus Christ gives us, it leads to eternal life. As we see the truth of his word, as we see the glory that he has given to undeserving sinners like us, as we see the joy that this world cannot give, but that God pours freely into our lives. That's why we want to share that message with everyone. That's why we warn people about the dangers of the earthly open mind. This is what Jesus sent us to do. Repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And then the promise of the Father is that he is with us always. We're not out there alone. We're not relying on ourselves and our interpretations and our arguments. We have the strength and the wisdom of God himself with us at all times. That's why we thank God that he has come to us in the flesh, has given himself for us, has worked faith in our hearts, and has opened our minds to his truth. By the truth of the cross, we can see through the open-minded lies of the world around us. By the blood of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven completely. Even of the sin that we pretend isn't sin, our mind is open to repent of that sin and see that it is forgiven completely. By the empty tomb of our Lord, we know without a doubt that death is not the end for us either. And by the grace of God, through his holy word, he has opened our minds so that we would know these things and the fullness of his glorious truth. So, dear Christian, pray that God would give you an open mind. Not a worldly open mind. In fact, we pray that God would protect us from that and would keep us in his word on his narrow path. But pray that God would continually grant you faith in and knowledge of his holy word. That you would believe his truth even when surrounded by the lies and deceit of this world. Pray that God would guide you to use that open mind and to share your faith actively with others, that their minds too would be opened and no longer clouded and closed by our culture of sin. And as you pray these things, as you make your bold confession in a world that opposes you, stand firm and give thanks. For Jesus has sent the promise of the Father upon us. He has strengthened us with his word, with his very presence. But more than that, Jesus has forgiven us. He has shed his blood to cleanse us of all of our sin. He has risen again to give you eternal life, and he has made you his own child. And by grace, though we didn't deserve it at all, God has opened our minds to his holy word and has given us faith to cling to his promises of life and to know without a doubt that by the cross of Jesus Christ alone, by his empty tomb alone, you are forgiven of every one of your sins, and eternal life in heaven is yours. Thanks be to God. Amen.